Welcome back to the Chasing Tone podcast. I, of course, am Brian Wampler, back again talking to Blake Weiland. And today we talk about several different things. There was a thread on the gear page titled this: Has Instagram's pedal culture become fashion over functions? We discussed that quite a bit. We talk about whether you should scoop the mids or whether you should not scoop the mids and how that affects overall tone in the bedroom versus, or wherever you practice, versus, on stage with the band. And we also talk about a modification update. So let's jump right into the podcast.
And we're back on the Chasing Tone podcast.
Is that the new jingle?
Wonderful place to be.
In the Chasing Tone podcast. You're
we're one big happy family. Hi, Brian.
Hello, Mr. Willand.
Yeah, that's me.
So,
there was a thread last night I found in the 60 Cycle Facebook group that said, if you could buy a voice, like you can just buy a pedal, whose voice would you buy?
Ooh.
And I chose Waylon Jennings.
Really?
But
whose voice?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. Who would that be for me? That might be... who sang for Alice in Chains? Is that Scott Weiland or is that Stone Temple Pilots?
No, that's Stone Temple Pilots is Scott Weiland. You're thinking of
Lane.
Lane Staley? Is it Staley? I don't know how to say his last name.
Staley, yeah.
Yeah. That's a good choice.
Man, he had the voice of gods. He was the perfect, the perfect voice for Alice in Chains. Oh my gosh.
The new guy's pretty good.
Well, I mean, But
but you're right.
At least at that point in my life, listening to 90s rock. And I hate to call that rock, but for lack of a better term.
Right.
That was, he had the voice that really hit me right in the gut. Like a good sucker punch from Mike Tyson, you know?
Mm-hmm. Chris Cornell. That's a good choice.
Chris Cornell. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. That's a guy that can make you just cry and weep just by singing a cappella. You know, you're like, holy cow.
He had it. Yeah. Whatever it is, he had it.
Oh, man.
For sure.
Yeah, especially when he did, was it Temple of the Dog stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Say Hello to Heaven?
Yes.
Oh, man, that was... I could sit here and reminisce about the days of old listening to things such as that.
But I'd still pick Waylon if it's me.
But. I like a good Waylon song, but I like it more for the beat and the picking of the chickens that happens along with that beat.
There is some chicken picking... stuff. I don't know. I grew up with Waylon. He's one of my favorites ever, which is why we can. Never mind. I'm not going to rip on Bro Country again. Not again. I've went months without doing it on this podcast. I'm not going to break that streak.
Apparently, from what I've heard, Bro Country is not really a thing outside of America, or at least
I believe that.
I mean, basically, I've heard that the country market is actually getting stronger in Europe. But it's not bro country stuff. It's like real country.
Well, hook me up with some of that European country then.
That's what I've heard. So apparently there's going to be a lot more Telecaster sales and the picking of chickens happening in Europe.
I support that 100%. 110%. I'm with that. Oh, man. I don't know what this has to do with anything, but I'm kind of mad that I'm a... I got really excited for a minute. My wife sent me a picture that was Sturgill Simpson and John Prine playing at Radio City Music Hall. I thought it said in August. I thought it said August 13th, which we were going to be there during that time. And so I got super excited. I'm like, buy tickets now, buy them. And then I realized that it was actually for like October or something. And I got really upset. Like, why did you even send that to me? So,
man, Sturgill Simpson, yeah, he's killing it.
Oh, man.
You know?
He's one of my favorites. I think I told you, maybe, I don't know if it was on the podcast or not, but I seen him when he came to Portland. He opened for one of my other favorite bands, Lucero, and they played the Portland Chili Cook-Off. I watched Sturgill Simpson open for at that, and that's pretty amazing to see what he's been able to do in a relatively short amount of time.
He's playing a chili cook-off from that to selling. I don't know how many seats he sells there, but here he does pretty good.
Oh, here in Portland, he's sold out theaters, like big theaters, for multiple nights in a row before.
Yeah, he's got it going on. Dude's a bright dude, too.
Yes, he is. I listened to him on Joe Rogan, actually, that we were talking about before. So, anyway, guitars and stuff.
All right, so I'm going to do the rest of the podcast in this voice right here.
Just kidding.
Never mind. I'm not going to say what I was going to say.
I did have a podcast listening comment. That's how come I don't do more of that voice.
More of Luke Bryan?
More of Luke Bryan. You know, why don't you do any Luke Bryan impersonations? I've never had the opportunity to.
It's because for months now I've been attempting to rein in my distaste for Bro Country so as not to alienate the listener base.
No, we all put up with Bro Country. You know, pays the bills. Got to do what you got to do.
Well, they pay your bills. They don't do anything for me.
Yeah, if there's good guitar, we've talked about this before, so it's just, I'll throw it out there. If there's a great guitar lick in there, I like the guitar licks. I usually ignore the parts in between the guitar licks. So it's like, oh, I tell you what, I got my truck right out back, girl. You know, I just ignore that part.
I can't. You can't ignore a knife into your eardrum.
So here's pro tip. Every song's going to be less than 3 minutes, so 2:59 or less. Skip to 2:15 for the guitar solo, 90% of the time.
That's a good, I would say that's a very accurate statement, except for the ones that have this kind of backing track here, the
okay.
They're probably not going to find a guitar solo, maybe if you're lucky.
Trance country, but. I like to call that, yeah. Or hip hop. That's I found out from from one of my kids' boyfriends that's called hip hop.
Hip hop. Yeah, I've heard that. It's it exists.
Yeah. And you know how I found it out? Because they're all out here having a fire, and I heard and I walked down and I went, "What in the crap are you guys listening to? You're supposed to be a bunch of rednecks here in Martinsville, and you're listening to this." And they're like, "This is hip hop," and I'm like, "It sounds like rap." And I'm like, "Let me get this straight. On my property, none of that music will be played here. That's the devil's music." No, I did say,
"Oh man,
hip hop? Are you like, what is wrong with your generation? Why don't you just listen to real country?"
That's a good question. As I've said before, I'm kind of an old man in a young man's body, and I still don't understand it.
I mean, you know, so I'm 43 years old right now. I graduated in 92. But in 1992, us rednecks, myself being included, we listened to Hank Williams Jr. and Waylon and Merle. Like, that's what we listened to.
Mm-hmm. As you should.
Right. And that was, that's music from 20 years ago or whatever. We didn't like take hair metal and be like, "Let's adapt this to the country music market," you know?
Though one could argue that it might actually work better.
That's kind of what it ended up becoming there for part of the 2000s. You know, we called it the 70s rock country movement, but it was kind of hair metal-ish, I guess. Not really hair metal. We weren't classic rock-ish, I guess.
Yeah, I was going to say, not really hair metal, but anyway. What were we talking about?
We were talking about the scoop the mids or not the scoop the mids.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I have a story about that just happened yesterday. A friend of mine, I was over at his house.
Play some
house.
Background music while you're doing this.
Oh, yeah. So a friend of mine, I don't know. I was blah, blah, blah. I can't talk now. We talked too long, and now we forgot to hit record. We didn't forget, but we unintentionally, we did our thing that we do on every episode.
So we talk about all the private stuff that can't go public, all the secrets of what's going on behind the scenes everywhere, all the gossips.
Yep. And then we hit record, and now I'm like, "Oh, we've already been talking For 2 hours, I've done talked out. Anyway, I was gonna say, I was over at my friend's house and checking out the kind of their jamming setup, which is sort of similar to what my band has. But there's his younger brother is just getting into pedals and gear real heavily. He might even be listening to this right now.
How old is he?
I don't know. How old is he? He's in his early 20s.
Ah, good man for playing guitar in your early 20s rather than listening to some sort of rap-based loop beat.
he had a Wampler on there.
Oh, well, thank you, Mr. 20-year-old.
Yes. Nice of you. Hi, Thomas, if you're listening. He might be.
Thank you, Thomas.
But we were trying to figure out, like, they would be jamming and the guitar would be cranked, but nobody could hear it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you can imagine, I went over to the amp and they looked at the pedals and stuff and went, hey, where are them mids at? I don't see any mids on this thing.
It's like Katy Perry said, I dropped the mids and I like it.
Right.
You know?
Wait, did she say that? Yeah. Never mind.
I think hers was more like kissed a girl, but the meme I saw had her holding a metal zone and said, I dropped the mids and I liked it or something
okay.
like that.
Along okay, that's funny. I'm not going to lie. That's really funny. But yeah, so I kind of gave him my spiel about mids and why you need them, despite like what you might think and what it might sound like in recording contexts and blah, 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 so on and so forth. Pushed the mids up a little bit, kind of all over the place, and wham, bam, we could hear the guitar. So it's just, I think a lot of our listeners already know this, but it's kind of worth, you know, reemphasizing that, like, there's new guys kind of getting into dialing in their sound all the time. So if you are a crusty old tone hound like you and I, it's worth noting that, like, there's new people kind of getting into this every day. So, you know, help those guys out.
Yeah,
I
mean,
it's their lives easier.
I think that's a very common thing where you're in your bedroom or wherever your guitar amp is, and you're jamming out to the latest Striper soundtrack or whatever you're playing, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
You're like, you know what I need to do? I need to drop these mids, raise this bass and treble a little bit, because that way it sounds like a massive sound. Yeah, I mean, it does. If you listen to a recorded song, you're hearing a lot of bottom end, generally from the bass guitar and the bass drum, by the way, not the guitar. And you're hearing a lot of top end. And it doesn't quite work that way in a live situation, you know?
No. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I'm the first to say I love the sound of the Big Muff when you step on that thing and it tells those mids to take a hike and it just sounds massive when you're by yourself.
Yep.
But what people kind of forget, especially newish, it's kind of weird. Like, he's not a new guitar player, but he's new to really chasing tone. And I think anybody that's listening to this podcast probably had that moment. They're like, you know, you get to a point where, like, there's guys that are just happy and there's guys that are gearheads and tone chasers like you and I.
Right.
And there's usually a tipping point. Well, when Thomas found his tipping point here a few months ago.
Right.
So he's been really getting down the rabbit hole of all this stuff and trying to figure it all out, because there's so much, there's a lot to learn about. There's so much information out there.
Well, I think we forget that just because someone buys a higher end pedal or a pedal in general doesn't necessarily mean they're the type of guy that's going to do a lot of tweaking or do some researching online to see why does my sound disappear whenever I turn this on. Unfortunately, they may just be like, yeah, I don't know. Every time I turn the pedal on, you can't hear myself with the drummer, and not thinking maybe I should move some of these dials a little bit. You know, I think some people just don't really correlate to dropping out of the mix based on EQ settings. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think they're looking at, like, from frequency spectrums and like, all right, here's the bass, here's the drums, here's the vocals, so here's where my guitar needs to sit. But I think it's also those people that a similar type of person that whenever they're with a band, they're like, yeah, this Tube Screamer, this Klon, like, it works great with this band situation. But whenever I'm at home it's like all nasally and it's just all mid-range and sounds really thin, mm-hmm. you know? And you're like, well, you're fitting in the mix though with it. It's putting you mm-hmm. in the right frequency spectrum. So little tip I like to use is take a tube screamer, cut out the diodes, drop a little bit of the gain so it's fairly clean, run a big muff into that clean tube screamer whenever you need a little mid-range cutting through-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Fun little trick.
I like it. I think that would be perfect.
It is a fun little trick. In fact, if you watched my video from the other day called AIM, what was it called? It was called, one second, I'm getting to it. It is called A Pedal Board with Only Metal Zones? Question mark.
Oh, the dream has been realized.
Yes. So I created a fuzz mod for the metal zone, along with an overdrive mod and a rat type of mod, and even hinted towards a delay and reverb mod. But anyways, so with that fuzz mod, you got that super awesome EQ on the metal zone. No, I'm not teasing. That is an awesome circuit. And mm-hmm. you can dial in the right amount of mids, whatever frequency you want. So it's a very fun little thing. So all that to say, not to change the subject because I want to make sure we stay on the subject for a minute, but hold back for a minute if you're planning on sending me your pedal because I'm buried. hold tight. I mean, you can get on a list, but don't just send your pedal in, please, because it's going to sit here for a few months.
Yeah, Brian's swimming in metal zones right now.
I have tons of metal zones. Yes, it's ridiculous. But the thing that it's been a lot of fun. Because I've in doing like all these modifications, I use that term in air quotes because I'm literally gutting the entire distortion circuit and making something else. I'm just using it as an EQ and I'm building a whole different drive circuit to it. So it's been fun because I'm like, oh, wow.
I got to tag you in something in one of the groups. I can't remember which group it is. I'll have to look it up later. But Leon, my buddy... Leon, who you know.
Yeah, I know Leon.
He did a rather interesting modification, quote unquote, on one of those Gear Supply Co. medium drives.
Really?
It's pretty hilarious. I'll just have to tag you and let you watch the video.
Yeah, I'll have to see that.
Which he made for Jamie Davis, who I know is a regular Chasing Tone listener.
Well, hi Jamie.
So, anyway.
So anyways, Thomas.
What were we talking about?
Thomas and Thomas needs to remember to crank up the mids whenever he's with the band.
Right. Oh, and that reminds me of what I was going to say. And I think we did a whole episode on this, like, when I first kind of started doing the show. Sometimes bad tone is the right tone in certain contexts.
Mm-hmm.
I know we're always trying to find the best and most awesome sounds, but... sometimes, in order to sit in the mix properly, you've got to actually make your guitar sound what would be less than optimal if you were playing by yourself.
Right.
It's kind of counterintuitive, but right. You got to look at where you sit. And, you know, when we play with my band, which we haven't done in a little while, but when we do, we have three guitar players, so we all have to be extra conscious.
Oh, wow.
That.
Yeah, so each one of you guys has to fit in kind of a different spectrum. In a way, so mm-hmm.
So we kind of guitar is inherently a mid voiced instrument,
right?
So we got to kind of basically pick what area of the mids each of us is going to sit in,
right?
In order to make it make any sense.
Mm-hmm. So. Yep. Yeah, I totally get it, man. I know whenever I play with another guitar player, especially because I sit in a lot rather than like play with a steady band, so mm-hmm. I like hear where he's coming from sonically, and I'm like, okay. So he's living in like that 1K, maybe 1.5K area. So I need to be a little bit lower or a little bit higher, but I got to fit in somewhere different than what he's doing, or else it's just going to be kind of a mess. You know what I mean?
Well, the best trick I can give anyone is if you, it doesn't matter where you are. If you just get a Univox Super Fuzz, you'll fit in just fine.
Maybe. If you're picking the chickens, you're going to be a fuzzy chicken picker.
Oh, it'll be fine. You need that octave fuzz to pick the chickens properly.
No, I do like that tube skimmer trick for fuzzes that tend to sound fat at home and disappear in a mix, though. It does. I mean, well, it does make it kind of nasally when you're by yourself, but at least in my experience, it tends to kind of fit in a niche pretty cool with a band.
Well, that's actually what some people, this is starting to become more common knowledge, but for a while it was a little less known. A lot of high gain players, guys that play a lot of metal or real aggressive music, playing these high gain, like Soldano type amps and Mesa Boogies and Diesels and things like that. A lot of those guys, they rely pretty much solely on amp gain for their distortion sound, but they goose it with a tube screamer or a tube screamer-esque pedal.
Yeah.
To get that extra standout and that extra kind of they try to bring back some of those mids in that way.
It tightens everything up. It's like on our Plexi Drive Deluxe, the boost circuit is basically just a fixed tube screamer. I mean, you got a knob in there to control gain or volume, I think, but basically it's just a fixed tube screamer circuit coming before.
Oh, as far as the EQ goes, you mean?
Like literally, it's a tube screamer circuit.
Okay, with no tone knob.
Basically. With no tone knobs fixed inside, yeah. With because a tone control is just two resistors, basically. So, or not a tone control, but a potentiometer is basically two resistors.
Right.
I'm not going to go down that nerdy rabbit hole, but so anyways, it's fixed inside, but it comes before the main distortion circuit. So whenever you have them both on. It tightens things up and focuses it. And some people dig that. Some people don't. It's so useful when you're in a band or even for a solo because it just tightens everything up.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. To each his own, but it works fantastically, I think.
So, I mean, and I'll say it works the same, just like you said, in you have it built into that pedal, but you can use the same concept as if you're running... a high gain dirt box.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to it works for anything that is that real high gain distortion or sound.
And that's why I made it independent. That way, whatever drive you have on your pedal board, you can stack them together, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to just use the Plexi drive. It's like two and you get two for the price of one.
It's a smoking deal.
But only this Friday.
Sunday. Come on down. Brian's blowing them out. He's blowing out everything. Must go.
Everything with a tube screamer must go.
You can get Clark's Tales for just a buck.
Anyways, that's the end. We used to have
a guy around here. Yep. It might still be in business, but it was called Outrageous Audio. It was a car stereo place, and he would come on these late night commercials, and his whole thing was like talking really high-pitched and crazy. You guys Google it. You'll see what I'm saying. But his tagline was like, and tweeters for just a buck. And like, it was the most bizarre acid trip of a commercial I've ever seen. It was bad.
Oh, you sound like Ben Stiller in Dodgeball. White Goodman.
I haven't watched that movie in a long time.
For some reason, you said that. You reminded me of Ben Stiller right there. Oh, I don't know. Anyways. Back to the topic at hand.
Which was what? Oh, yeah. I think we've covered it.
We did cover that, but we haven't covered the problem or maybe the change in the Instagram pedal culture.
Oh, that's right. I forgot we were going to talk about that. Or at least it was brought up in a group somewhere? Or was this a question that got sent to
you? The gear page. It was on the gear page.
Oh, okay.
It was brought up. Basically, the question is, has Instagram's pedal board culture become fashion over function? And I'll read a little bit from the person that wrote this, so you kind of get where he's coming from.
Okay.
I'm assuming it's a guy based on their username. Instagram as a concept has created a climate of people who seem almost more concerned with how cool and how artful their board looks rather than how it sounds. But worse, they all tend to look like clones of each other. Pedal boards with super trendy Chase Bliss or Strymon pedals get tons of likes. Is there a fancy wood grain floor underneath that board? Yeah, more likes. Extra points for a trendy millennial camera filter too. They say Instagram has turned pedal boards and rigs into a niche type of quote-unquote fashion. And then they followed up with this statement. It's a culture of people who are invested in pure ego stroking and herd mentality.
Okay. So, I mean, how do I want to reply to this? Let me think about it. He's not entirely wrong. You know what I mean? Like, he's not wrong in that Instagram, I mean, and I should say, Instagram's like my favorite social platform. So,
right.
Take this with a grain of salt. But,
I'll send you the direct quote real quick through your text messages so you can glean at it if you need to.
Okay. I just kind of look, he's definitely not wrong. There's plenty of people kind of chasing style points for, you know, for having a fancy board or having all the right stuff. But my thing is like, is that a bad thing? If that makes them happy that they got the thing that they want and they want to show it to people, I don't really see how that is a problem. The pedals he's talking about in particular are great pedals. So I mean, it can be both. Can you not just like want them and because they work really well?
See, to me, I think this is a bigger symptom of the fear of change. You know, where
okay.
Instagram's changing. It's not like it used to be. You know, now this is what's cool and this makes me uncomfortable in some way. Or, you know, I like it the way it used to be. I don't want it to go this way. I mean, it's still like you just said. I mean, if I don't think it's a bad thing. If that resonates with people, then cool. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't, then start your own. So, you know, maybe you be the first person that puts pedal boards on a back of a hog or something. You know, and strap it to a hog. And now everybody, there's a big group now called Hogs with Pedal Boards. You know, maybe that's, go do it, go do your own thing, man. If you don't like it, that's start true. Something
I
new.
Mean, who knows? I mean, people probably know about this, but there's an entire Instagram account dedicated to cats on amps.
Right, it's yeah. Just I mean,
cats on amps.
Maybe I should do pedals on goats, you know?
I mean, that's my thing. It's like, I don't understand. I understand the criticism, right? Like he's definitely not wrong that certain boards configured a certain way in a certain setting gather more likes, but that's just the nature of things. If you take a nicely laid out, well done, pretty photograph of something, it doesn't matter what it is. It could be your hamburger, or you just kind of take a, you know, sloppy, just quick grab of a picture rather than something that's carefully edited and put together. Of course it's going to do better. It's more pleasant to look at.
Right.
I mean, that's what Instagram is. It's a platform to look at stuff that looks nice. So people put together a board. They try to make it as nice looking as they possibly can because they want people to see it and comment on it.
Right. It's sort of the duck face version of the gear world.
Yes, it is kind of. And I think it's a lot cooler than a duck face.
Well, I know, but I mean, that was the best analogy that just popped in my head.
Yeah, it is though. I mean, it's people put it together because they put it together really nicely so that others will see it and think it's right. Cool. And I don't think that's a bad thing. It just is a thing.
Yeah, it's a hobby. I mean, in the same way that some people make fun of us for turning knobs all the time or obsessing over guitar related sounds or, you know, anything else gear related. There's people that look at us and make fun of us because, like, oh my gosh, well, just buy whatever pedal you need and just learn to play. Stop obsessing over buying gear, you know? But that's our thing. You're not necessarily mm-hmm. buying gear, but trying different gear. And, well, I mean, I just bought a Boss OS2, old school Boss, you know? Mm-hmm. No reason, really, other than it's been a long time since I played one, and I had a little bit of nostalgia, and I saw one going for cheap on eBay.
Well, and to that same token, I do want to, you know, point out a little bit of a counterpoint. I reposted a video just yesterday from a guy where the main focus was a DOD grunge pedal.
Yeah, I saw something around that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
A, it sounded awesome. I think his username is Mark, I think you call it Pouts or Pots. I'm not exactly sure if I'm saying that right. So apologies, but there was an awesome video. It sounded great. And yeah, it was mainly using a DoD grunge and a kazoo. It was super cool. But the point I'm trying to make is I had a bunch of comments on there saying, oh man, the DoD grunge, that's so awesome. Like, it's not just the quote unquote hip pedals that people enjoy. People just like pedals, man.
Right.
So I know I do. I would gladly, and maybe I should do this. I would gladly put together a board with like my Ibanez 7 series stuff with my hologram infinite jets, which are like two polar opposite ends of the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
So yep. I think that that they're all cool toys that you can use however you want.
No, I agree.
Whether it's to get Instagram likes or if it's just because you feel like it. I don't know. At the end of the day, it's just fun.
So, yeah, I mean, I think we kind of talked about this before we started recording. When I said the statement, it's a culture of people who are invested in pure ego stroking and herd mentality. You said something, and I was trying to remember what you said because it prompted something in my head. You said we all are that way. That's how we're wired as a society.
Yes, I said it's that way in any quote unquote tribe.
In any mm-hmm. tribe. Mm-hmm. My personal belief is that we're kind of designed to be a part of a tribe, and that's why we start forming little groups and cliques with each other.
Of course, we find, that's human nature.
Yeah.
Yes.
We just find people that have similar interests and we'd like to hang out with them, you know, mm-hmm.
And we would like to produce things that, you know, I would. For instance, this podcast is a good example. If nobody listened to this after all this time and we didn't have anybody responding or tuning in or anything, we sure would have quit doing it, you know?
Right, because we could just talk on the phone without going through the hassle of recording it and editing it.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the fact that people like this, and we are part of the community as much as they are. And that's a very normal human thing, is to try to create or put things out there that like-minded people will think is cool. That's kind of what people do,
right?
No matter whatever niche you're into, doesn't matter if it's guitar pedals or underwater basket weaving.
That's right. Or if you're trying to put goats or pedals on top of goats,
you will be the head honcho of the pedal goat community.
I'm telling you, that's my new Instagram page. I'm starting goats with pedals.
Goats and pedals.
Yep.
At goats and pedals on Instagram, everybody.
Registering it right now.
Do it.
That's going to be a new pedal a day on top of a goat. And I'm going to strap it to the goat with some sort of, can't really do a zip tie because that would kill the goat, obviously. Maybe a big rubber band.
Just get a motorcycle strap and just snug it down just enough.
One of those ratchet straps. Oh, too much. Sorry,
goat. Brian, are you advocating for goat abuse? Come on.
No.
I thought you were above this.
No, I have thought about starting goat yoga, though. Man, that's a big deal here in Indiana. There's goat one place yoga? To do goat yoga. Uh-huh. And it's like they're crazy busy. You have to schedule out months ahead of time.
Have we talked about this before?
I think we did. I think we mentioned it another time, yeah. But yeah, goat yoga is a
thing. I forgot about this, but it sounds vaguely familiar. People literally are doing yoga with their goat?
No. You go to a place that has goats, and they have a yoga instructor there. And there's different types of goats. I'm sure there's some farmers like, that damn goat's way too heavy to put on your back. There ain't no way it's going to happen. So, sorry for the accent. That's how we talk around here. Like, literally, we kind of talk with a little bit of drawl kind of around here. Mm-hmm. But anyways, these goats are mini goats. They're like little small babies. So they're the size of a Yorkie, if you're familiar with dogs. Maybe a little bit bigger. Okay. So they're little goats, but they're real hyperactive, right? Young baby goats like jump all over everything like crazy, and they're kind of fun. So anyways, like you're doing yoga poses, and this goat like will jump onto your butt sticking up in the air or whatever, and just kind of chill there. Yeah, and then they'll like just jump around like it's just fun.
Is it the fun factor, or is it like an extra challenge? Okay, now you got to hold this weird pose Well, a goat's trying to ram your kneecap.
I think it's a little bit of both. You know, you're... I don't do yoga, so I don't, like, know any poses except, like, the one where your butt's sticking up in the air. And that's just from that movie with... what's his name? Anyways, that was going to be funny, but I forget, so I totally ran that joke.
I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. Never in a million years did I think we would start this talking about scooping the mids and end it with goat yoga.
I'm telling you, that's the newest Wampler craze. We're going to start goat yoga-ing out here at Wampler Farms in Martinsville.
Wampler Farms, is that how you make the petals? You plant them in the ground. You plant little diodes in the ground, and they grow up.
We found the trick to it is you actually have to start with new old stock components, and you plant that, and that's how you get the good tone.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah. So does it grow? Is it like a situation like a carrot where it sprouts up and you got to pull it out from the root?
Yes.
And replant it, or is it like a tree where the petals, it produces petal fruit?
It's more like a carrot. You got to pull it up by the top, and then you pick off the little diodes and capacitors and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, man. Dude, that is fascinating. It's not at all how I thought these things were assembled. But
Well, you know, when you're at the cutting edge of technology, you figure out new ways of doing old things. So
what? You know. New ways of doing old things. new ways of producing outdated technology. That's what we do around here.
That's exactly right. Oh, all right. That's a good place to end this podcast on.
All right. Sounds good. Time for goat yoga.
Goat yoga. And thanks so much for listening to the Chasing Tone podcast. If you like this podcast, I would ask one thing of everyone. Maybe share it with a friend, coworker, significant other that might be into guitar tone related things, or maybe just share it on a Facebook group or whatever. I appreciate it if you do like it, if you do share it. If you have any comments or questions, you can always email podcast@wamplerpedals.com. If it's a good question for the show, I'll get it on the show. If it's something I can answer just myself, I'll just shoot you a quick email back. So thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.